The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
After 7 days of disbelieving, Jesus had risen from the dead. Thomas was shown his resurrected Savior. The apostle then confessed, "My Lord and my God." Jesus responded to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That applies to you and to me, also to the original recipients of St. Peter's initial letter. To them he wrote, "Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Peter wrote this letter to those who are elect in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, that is, in present-day Turkey. Barnabas and Paul had traveled through these Roman provinces, teaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who heard and believed shared the good news. Jesus Christ, God's Son incarnate, crucified and risen from the dead, was proclaimed. Baptisms were performed. People came to faith. Christians gathered together to hear God's word and receive his gifts. People rejoiced with inexpressible joy, filled with glory, for they now knew they had an eternal inheritance in heaven, that they would be with Jesus in paradise forever. St. Peter describes the difference, the message that Jesus Christ was crucified and rose again for you makes in the opening words of his letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter doesn't waste any words here. It's hard to absorb everything that he says without considering closely each phrase that he has written. He writes that God has great mercy. Mercy has to do with not wanting a person to suffer the punishment he has earned. It is to God's abundant mercy that King David appealed when he confessed, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Only because he knows that God is merciful can David pray, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For he knows that he deserves nothing of the sort. God's mercy, Peter writes, is revealed in his causing us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Rebirth from above by the Spirit takes place in the sacrament of holy baptism. There, through water and the Word, God is at work to save the sinner, washing away sin and claiming as his own dear child and heir one whose sinfulness had destined him to death and hell. Holy baptism, St. Paul tells us, is to be united with Christ in his death and resurrection. Having received this rebirth, you need not be like Thomas in those days after Easter, fearful and doubting, grieving as others do who have no hope. No, in baptism, you've been reborn to a living hope through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Because of Jesus' resurrection, and your having been united to him through holy baptism, no matter what threatens you, you can confidently join the psalmist in proclaiming, I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord. You can say that today, as the coronavirus has made the frailty of life and health and prosperity all too clear. You can say it as you are admitted to the hospital or wheeled into the operating room. You can say that when you're in the ICU or under hospice care. And when your casket is here covered by a funeral pall, the funeral pall marking you as a baptized child of God, redeemed by Christ the crucified. Even then your soul will be rejoicing, I am baptized into Christ. I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. I am his. He has saved me. Through holy baptism, you have been reborn to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This inheritance cannot die. It cannot go bad, it cannot decay. It cannot be spoiled or marred. It cannot be destroyed by rust or moth, not even by a record-setting crash of the stock market. It is unfading. And it's not like the clothes that you might buy that start out a vivid color, but over time with repeated washings, lose the intensity of their pigments. Your eternal inheritance will be fresh and new each day. You'll never tire of it. After 100,000 years, it will bring you the same overwhelming joy that it brought when the angels first ushered you into the presence of God the Father and your Savior. And your inheritance, Peter writes, is being kept in heaven for you. You sometimes read about people being swindled out of their inheritance, an unfaithful guardian or trustee losing everything before they even come of age. We got our first quarter statements on our IRAs and mutual funds the other day. I haven't reviewed them at all yet because I know the numbers are going to look very bad. But nothing like that can happen to your eternal inheritance. It is being kept for you, diligently watched over and guarded by the Almighty God, so that it will be yours in full on the appointed day. And not only is your inheritance being kept for you, Peter writes that by God's power, you are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Like sentries were posted around the clock to prevent intruders or saboteurs from attacking a military outpost, with his almighty power, the Lord who has a host of angels at his command, is watching over and guarding you through faith, so that nothing in all creation, no misfortune or hardship, no pandemic or catastrophe, no earthly or spiritual power will be able to keep you from receiving the salvation Jesus has prepared for you, fully and completely, by his sacrificial death and victorious resurrection. Like St. John in his Gospel, Peter here carefully chooses his words and tenses of verbs to underline that your hope and inheritance and salvation are yours even now. They're not just a future possibility. They are a present reality. Already the title has been signed over to you. The deed for your heavenly dwelling has your name on it. It's no wonder then that Peter opens with praising and thanking God. Nevertheless, Peter was writing to people still experiencing the great tribulation. People like us. People still suffering amidst the disasters and devastations that are part of life in a world that is affected by sin. Some of his readers seem even to have been suffering persecution because of their faith. Nevertheless, he says, you rejoice. The joy amidst grievous trials of which Peter writes is not unlike that peace which passes all understanding of which St. Paul wrote. It seems a contradiction. How can one rejoice even in the midst of grief? It comes down to the living hope, the inheritance in heaven, and salvation which is fully prepared. As St. Paul puts it, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. These trials, Peter suggests, according to God's providence, are like the fire that is used to refine gold. In the trials of life, the genuineness of your faith is revealed. We see this in the confession Job made. Though God slay me, Job says, yet will I hope in him. The living hope, the inheritance in heaven, and the salvation fully prepared mean that though sorrow, need, or death be yours, you shall not be forsaken. Rather, it is as our Lutheran confessions put it, before time began, God preordained what sort of crosses and sufferings he would use to conform each one of his elect to the image of his Son, and that the cross of each should and must work together for the good of that person, because he has been called according to God's purpose. God's express intent and purpose is that you be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth that Jesus died for you, bearing the full punishment for every one of your sins, and was raised again for your justification. Through holy baptism, he gave you new life by the power of Jesus' resurrection, so that you can live in a sure and certain hope of an eternal inheritance in heaven, which is yours, and which you will enjoy in full on the last day, because even now he is working all things to sustain you in the faith and keep you as his own. So on this second Sunday of Easter, rejoice. Salvation is yours for the sake of your crucified and risen Redeemer. In eternity you will sing, Alleluia! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, And even today, he invites you to the foretaste of his eternal feast, where he forgives you and strengthens your trust in his mercy and grace for you and for life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.